Thank you kindly, Davy. Thank you very much. And hi to all those people out there on live stream that are waiting to hear what God has done. I guess the kind of the name I'll call my sermon today. First off, I'll tell you this. Because of the gift of my calling from God, He's allowed me once or twice to be able to speak to you again. And it thrills my heart because after all these years, well, I know to some maybe it doesn't mean that much, but around 50 years ago when I started visiting the different locals around the state of Missouri, and then when I retired a little over 30 years ago, I was in a field half of the year, every year. So I look at your faces this morning, giving thanks that God has given us the gospel, the truth, that it may enlighten our minds, help us to understand the ways of life, help us to understand what the truth of life is in the eyes of God. And to try to help do that, I'm going to start out this morning by reading a little reading from 1 Nephi, the fourth chapter. And this is Nephi. His father had a vision. I call it a vision. And in this vision, they told him about the city Jerusalem because that's where they lived. And they told him that they were going to have to leave because this city was going to be destroyed. So finally, Lehi did. He took his family, and they lived in a tent to leave Jerusalem so that when it was destroyed, they wouldn't be destroyed with it. But in the doing of this, God had arranged something else He wanted done. There was a people in this land that we call the Source Land. And I can tell you, maybe it's because of the way I look at it, that way I feel at home here. There is no other land like this one. It is truly a choice and a beloved land, and should be to all of us. And I guess I'm going to divert from that just a little bit to put this other scripture in here that I'd like to read to you to let you know that not only did the Lord speak of the thing that I'm talking about to this family, which was of the seed of Joseph, but He used a person called Isaiah, an ancient prophet, to prophesy to them. And whether it means the same thing to you as it does to me or not, we'll see in a minute. In this reading, it's in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And it says, in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, and this is the 10th verse, which shall stand as an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar, from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. Now, you wonder why he spoke of all of those things. Because in the scattering of Israel, in a windup, a lot of them did go to what they called in that day the islands of the sea. And they're going to come back. But here, in order to help you understand that you are living in this time frame we're talking about, it's longer than people think. But God set his hand the second time to recover his people Israel, to set up things, get all his marbles and ducks in a row, so that it was time, when it was time, he could get them home to their time, their land, rather, of their inheritance. And that's going to happen. The thing I want you to be encouraged by this morning, you know, we say we're living in last days, and we are. But I'm going to have to tell you that the last days last longer than you think. These last days, we are a part of this, the Lord setting up his setting hand the second time. We have a Church of Christ here, don't we? We call it that. And we realize that it isn't my church. It isn't yours. We get to be in it, but it belongs to Jesus Christ. And so with this realization in our soul, I hope, we look at these things and realize that we are part of his setting his hand again the second time. Because if you've read the rest of Isaiah, you realize that he's trying to get the Jew to realize they have to come back to the doctrine that belongs to Jesus Christ. They have to begin to worship God and love him and conduct themselves in a way that not aristocracy would do, and that's the way they do now. Now, I was surprised. I got to talk to a Jewish rabbi here quite a while back now. But in the end of our conversation, it was made clear that he was royalty and everybody should wait on him. Now, in the end, there's going to be a time when there will be some of that, because we call ourselves Gentiles. But you know, we're not Gentiles anymore. Not when we made that covenant with Christ. When we made that covenant, we took part in the covenant, in the covenant that was made with Abraham centuries ago. We committed ourselves to Christ, the Son of God, who was the one that made that covenant with Abraham. Now, that didn't mean that his father wasn't in on it. They never did anything separately. They are together. They're one in purpose, one in activities, one in desire. So as we think about this, I hope you can recognize this. And now I'm going to go to this place in 4th chapter of 1 Nephi again. And Nephi is talking to his brothers, and they're trying to ask him some questions. He said, and it came to pass that after I had received strength, and that's because Nephi had inquired of the Lord because he wanted to be able to have the understanding to the dream or the vision that his father had had. And so he was asking God to give him this division, this dream. But he asked for himself something more. He said, God, let me know what it means all the way through. I need the interpretation of the different things that happened. And so God got his answer. But like a lot of things, when we ask for, there's a lot more involved with it than we think to start with. Because as time passed, Nephi was shown all the things down to and including the end of his own seed that wiped themselves out. They were part of this family that I'm talking about. Lehi had four sons, he and his wife. Laman, Lemuel, Sam, and Nephi. At least when they left Jerusalem, that's what they had. But when they got over here, they had two more. They had Joseph and Jacob. But Lehi had been talking to Laman and Lemuel, trying to get them to understand some things, and they didn't understand. So after Nephi had gone through this experience, he had to have time to regain his strength because it just overwhelmed him. He thought that the things that he had to realize was going to happen, not because God wanted it that way, but because of what people were going to do. And we have to look at that too. And so now Nephi is going to, they're asking Nephi about it. What does this mean? And the seventh verse starts out here on page 43 in the Book of Mormon. And it came to pass that after I had received strength, I spake unto my brethren, desiring to know of them the cause of their disputation. And they said, behold, we cannot understand the word which our father has spoken concerning the natural branches of the olive tree, and also concerning the Gentiles. And I said unto them, have ye inquired of the Lord? And this is really important. You'll find that Nephi refers to this, or like this, point all the time. He said, and they said, behold, we cannot understand the words which our father has spoken concerning the natural branches of the olive tree, and also concerning the Gentiles. And I said unto them, have ye inquired of the Lord? And they said unto me, we have not. For the Lord maketh no such thing known unto us. Behold, I said unto them, how is it that ye do not keep the commandments of the Lord? How is it that ye will perish because of the hardness of your heart? Do ye not remember the things which the Lord has said? If ye will not harden your hearts, and ask me in faith, believing that ye shall receive with diligence in keeping my commandments, surely these things shall be made known unto you. Behold, I say unto you that the house of Israel was compared unto an olive tree by the Spirit of the Lord, which was in our father. And then he goes on into the story that he's trying to tell them here of he's trying to tell them this. And this same parable of this olive tree is written in the book of Jacob, in the Book of Mormon, third chapter. Most of that chapter is that. But did you know in the beginning of that first chapter, it's something I don't like to read. Hurts my feelings. But yet I know because of my lifetime, if you don't do what God asks, he will find a way to let you know it's necessary. And sometimes he lets you get clear into desperation where you feel like everything is hopeless. But then he'll tell you, now if you'll do this, I'll help you. And he does. I'm going to start reading now in the fifth chapter, in verse 119. This is the extended reading, and I want to tell you, I hope you don't get tired of listening to me read. One time I preached at one of the locals down in South Missouri, and I got done that it was one of Archie Bell's daughters came to me and said, "How come you did all that reading?" And I said, "Well, because this is a touchy subject. And when I read it, everybody knew I didn't make it up. I wanted them to know it was true." And that's what I'm reading this morning. Verse 219, and I'll try to skip quite a bit here, but I don't have time to read everything, and I probably crowded a lot of it in that I might not get in anyway. I'll start at verse 216, rather. No, 218. "And it came to pass that the Lord commanded me, wherefore I did make plates of ore that I might engraven upon them the record of my people." This is Nephi speaking. "And upon the plates which I made, I did engrave from the records of my father, and also our journeyings in the wilderness, and the prophecies of my father, and also many of mine own prophecies have I engraved upon them. I knew not at the time when I made them that I should be commanded of the Lord to make these." And I want to call to your attention this time in case I don't get to say it later. There's a big reason why you'll find, especially Nephi, but it's all through the book. It's called a sacred record. And it is. It's not just a record of a people. It's a record of a people trying to serve God and sometimes not serving God, but it's a thing that has the Holy Word in it. And we need to understand that. And when we say that it's a miracle, we have our Bible, if you trace its origin and how it came together and came to be what we have today, it's a miracle. It's another sacred record of God's work on this earth to help people understand what they need to do, what kind of people they need to be, and they forget to put another part on this. Where's our goal? Our goal is to please God and to one day live in a place that is eternal and never changes. It's holy. Everybody loves everyone else. No wars, none of that business. Can you imagine that? It's hard for me too. It's hard for me too. "Wherefore the record of my father and the genealogy of his forefathers and the more part of all our proceedings in the wilderness are engraven upon those first plates which I have spoken. Wherefore the thing which transpired before that, I made these plates, are of a truth, more particularly made mention upon the first plates. And after that I had made these plates by way of commandment, I, Nephi, received a commandment that the ministry and the prophecies and the more plain and precious parts of them should be written upon these plates." That's what he brought to us when he sat his hand again the second time and established Christ's church again here on earth. Now do you understand it being that, a restoration of that? How could it have all these other officers that sometimes people think about? It's supposed to be what Christ established again planted on earth. And that's what it is. And that the things which are written should be kept for the instruction of my people, which should possess the land, and also for otherwise purposes, which purposes are known unto the Lord. Wherefore, I, Nephi, did make a record upon the other plates, which gives an account, or which gives a greater account of the wars and contentions and destructions of my people. And now this I have done, and commanded my people that they should do, after that I was gone, and that these plates should be handed down from one generation to another, or from one prophet to another, until further commandment of the Lord. And an account of my making these plates shall be given later, hereafter, rather. And then, behold, I proceed according to that which I have spoken. And this I do, that the more sacred things may be kept for the knowledge of my people. Nevertheless, I do not write anything upon plates, save it be that I think it be sacred. Now, if I do err, even did they err of old, not that I would excuse myself because of other men, but because of the weakness which is in me, according to the flesh, I would excuse myself. For the things which some men esteem to be a greater worth both to the body and soul, others set at naught and trample under their feet. Yea, even the very God of Israel do men trample under their feet. I say trample under their feet, but I would speak in other words, they do set him at naught and hearken not to the voice of his counsel. Behold, he cometh according to the words of the angel in the 600 years from the time my father left Jerusalem. And the world, because of their iniquity, shall judge him to be a thing of naught. Wherefore they scourge him. Notice all this. Therefore they scourge him, and he suffereth it. And they smite him, and he suffereth it. Yes, and they spit upon him. How'd you like to have that? They spit upon him, and he suffereth it. And they smite him, and he suffereth it. And he spit upon him. I read a couple things there twice. I'm sorry. Yeah, they put spit upon him, and he suffereth it because of his loving kindness and his long suffering toward the children of men. And the God of our fathers, which were led out of Egypt, out of the bondage, and also were preserved in the wilderness by him, yea, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, yields himself according to the words of the angel as a man into the hands of wicked men to be lifted up according to the words, of Zenoch, and to be crucified according to the words of Nahum, and to be buried in the sepulchre according to the words of Zenos, which he spake concerning the 3 days of darkness, which should be a sign given of his death unto them who shall inhabit the isles of the sea, more especially given unto them which are of the house of Israel. For thus saith spake the prophet, the Lord God surely shall visit all the house of Israel at that day, some with his voice because of their righteousness unto their great joy and salvation, and others with the thunderings and the lightnings of his power, by tempest, by fire, by smoke and vapor of darkness, by the opening of the earth, and by the mountains which shall be carried up. And all these things must surely come, saith the prophet Zenos, and the rocks of the earth must rend. And because of the groanings of the earth, many of the kings of the isles of the sea shall be wrought upon by the Spirit of God to exclaim, the God of nature suffers. And as for them which are at Jerusalem, saith the prophet, they shall be scourged by all people, saith the prophet. They shall be scourged by all people, saith the prophet, because they crucified the God of Israel and returned their hearts aside, rejecting signs and wonders and power and glory of the God of Israel. And because they have turned their hearts away, or aside rather, saith the prophet, and have despised the Holy One of Israel, they shall wander in the flesh and perish and become a hiss and a byword to be hated among all nations. Nevertheless, when that day cometh, saith the prophet, that they no more turn aside their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, then will he remember the covenants which he made to their fathers. And this is an important thing for us to consider and pray for. We, as a Gentile nation, now I'm speaking now, you are all baptized members that have made a covenant with Christ. You are not part of that Gentile nation anymore. You are numbered among the house of Israel. And the responsibility of this belief and these things that are said to you, to the house of Israel, it is also said to you. Don't forget it. And then will I remember the isles of the sea, yea, and all the people which are of the house of Israel. Will I gather in, saith the Lord, and according to the words of the prophet Zenith, from the four quarters of the earth, yea, and all the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord, saith the prophet. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people shall be blessed. And I, Nephi, have written these things unto my people, that perhaps I might persuade them that they would remember the Lord, their Redeemer. Wherefore I speak unto all the house of Israel, if it so be that they should obtain these things, for behold, I have workings in the spirit, which doth weary me, even that all my joints are weak for they which are at Jerusalem. For had not the Lord been merciful to shew unto me concerning them, even as he had the prophets of old? For he surely did shew unto the prophets of old all things concerning them. And also he did shew unto many concerning us. Wherefore it must needs be that we know concerning them, for they are written upon the plates of brass. And we have to remember, too, that when things in the Bible, you know, most of the New Testament, as they put the Bible together, were letters written by our beloved brethren that were Christ's disciples. And that's where our New Testament came from. But the Old Testament wasn't that way. The only explanation that I have found about where we got it, because it didn't come down actually through the Jews all the way. There was one of the prophets called Esdras. In his writing, he was prophesying and he was telling the people that they must keep God's word. And then he went to God and he said, yeah, God, I understand all this, and I'm doing the best I can. Now, I'm paraphrasing this, of course. But what's going to happen when I'm gone? They're going to need something. So he, I've forgotten the number of riders. I think it was 20. 20 riders that he was to choose that could ride swiftly. And take them with him into the desert. And he went there, and for 24 hours a day, he dictated the old record to them. And they wrote it. And out of the books that were written, there were about 70 of them that they buried. And the rest of it, they brought back for the people that they needed to use. It was like Lehi said later on, and the other writers both. Well, even they got so far back as King Benjamin. He couldn't possibly have been able to keep all these things, what they should do and how they should do it and how they should love God. He couldn't do that by memory. He had to have something to refer to because they had a record then. Of course, these people over here had the plates of brass. You knew that, I hope. And when they went back to Laban to get that plate, that's what they got, the plates of brass. So with these things in our mind, I'd like for us to understand how I'm going to skip over the sixth chapter and go to the seventh because there's not time. I'll read the seventh. I'm beginning at the first verse. It says, "Now it came to pass that after I, Nephi, after that I had read these things, which were engraven upon the plates of brass, my brethren came to me and said unto me, What meaneth these things which ye have read? Behold, are they to be understood according to things which are spiritual, which shall come to pass according to the Spirit, and not the flesh? And I, Nephi, saith unto them, Behold, they were made manifest unto the prophet by the voice of the Spirit. For by the Spirit are all things made known unto the prophet, which shall come upon the children of men according to the flesh. Wherefore the things which are, of which I have read, are things pertaining to things both spiritual and temporal. For it appears that the house of Israel, sooner or later, will be scattered upon all the face of the earth and also among all nations. And behold, there are many which are already lost from the knowledge of they which are at Jerusalem." And he's talking there about the 10.5 lost tribes that went across. Remember, and the stream was stayed, so they went across again on dry land, just like they did when they came out of Egypt. And they went into the north country somewhere. And then, when the time comes, time for them to come back, and this is in Isaiah also, he's going to stay the stream again when they come, and make it so they will walk across on dry shod. These are things we look forward to. I guess, let me say it this way. Because we are living in the last days, and things are going to be hard, and you ask yourself, why? If you read the scriptures, you realize that nobody changes without a boost. God's going to boost the different people, us too. And I prayed with all my might because they were saying here a while back that we're living in the last days and things are going to get rough. Yeah, but it's only started. But what I want to tell you is this. I ask the Lord what it is we should teach our people, because they know what your gospel is. What are we supposed to teach them? to help them that way? And the answer was so simple, I was almost ashamed I asked. He told me, teach them to keep my commandments and always pray that I will be with them. And if they do this, then I can work with them. I can let them know what to do. So that's the way we get close to God. Remembering that there's nothing that we do, even driving down the street, nothing that we do that we do not need the Lord to be there to watch over us as we go. Because human that we are, we just do that. We need him. I want to I guess now I'm going to take the time to go over and read out of Messiah, the first chapter. I want to he's talking about in this place that I'm reading here in the first chapter of Messiah. He's trying to tell them what the weaknesses of men were. I'll start first, I guess, in 109. And the Lord God has sent his holy prophets among the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, tongue, and nation, that thereby whosoever should believe that Christ should come, the same might receive remission of their sins and receive with exceeding great joy, even as though he had already come among them. Yet the Lord God saw that his people were a stiff-necked people, and he appointed unto them a law, even the law of Moses, and many signs and wonders and types and shadows shewed he unto them concerning his coming. And also holy prophets spake unto them concerning his coming. And yet they hardened their hearts and understood not that the law of Moses availeth nothing, except it were through the atonement of his blood. And even if it were possible that little children could sin, they could not be saved. But I say unto you that they are blessed. For behold, as in Adam, or by nature they fall, even so the blood of Christ atoneth for their sins. And moreover, I say unto you, that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way, nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord Omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgment is just. And the infant perisheth not that dieth in his infancy. But men drank damnation to their own soul, except they humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord Omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. I'm going to emphasize something here. Over in Proverbs, I can't quote you the chapter and verse right at the moment, but It tells you that man was created upright, but he sought out many inventions. And that's what happened. He began to try to go his own way after that fall. And you can see that by the difference in the way Abel lived and Cain. Because Cain finally rose up and killed Abel. Why? Because he was acceptable to God and he wasn't. And people have said, well, I wonder why the difference God didn't receive the sacrifice that he made like he did Abel. Well, God answers that question too in the scriptures where it tells him, if I don't accept your sacrifice, it's because sin is at the door. So Cain already had been sinning. That's what made it so his sacrifice wasn't acceptable. You have to do it from your heart. And this is a thing, too, that's really difficult for all of us to realize. You can't just pass over anything. Every item seems to be important. Some more than others, we think, but at the same time, we can't even give a sharp answer to the people that, well, like for instance, now Christ did that, and it says that he accepted it and persevered in it because of his loving kindness. Well, what do you think? He set the example, didn't he? Says so. If we become love with loving kindness like he was, if we pray, if we're able to achieve that, then we will stand the same way in the keeping of his commandments. And we will know. There's another thing, a chapter and verse I'd have to go look. It's in the 14th chapter of St. John, where it says that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on and says that the responsibility of that Holy Ghost, and you need to pray for it, that it'll abide with us and be a part of us, is to call to your mind things that Christ has said. That's the way it's worded. Things that Christ has said to help you know what the right thing is to do. Because you'll go back and refer to that. And God will help it to come back to your mind. And you'll know that you're not just operating off of some quick thought that comes back to your mind. The Holy Spirit can help you do that. Well, I guess there's a lot more here that I was going to say. But I'll go and read a few more verses after this where it says, from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever, because with the fall of Adam, man fell. But if he yieldeth, listen to this part too. If he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, tells you what it's saying too. Submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even if the child does submit to his father. So, now, I know that very often we don't look at it this way, but for a moment do this. Consider yourself as being a child of God. Then you fit this category here of a child submitting to his father. See, it's the same pattern that God's trying to impress us with. And when we do that, then we can follow Christ. There's one more thing I wanted to call to your attention to. This is kind of off of the subject, I suppose. But this is another thing that we look forward to. But, and I'll discount the reading in the 10th chapter of 3 Nephi right now because of time. And here it is. You know, we talk about we want to live to the time that we have the New Jerusalem. We call it Zion. A lot of names you put to it. But at the same time that we're talking about, the New Jerusalem will be built on this land. Now, I can't say this for sure, I just what I think. I think it's going to be right here. But the prophecy also says, talking to us, that our chariots and all of these kind of things are going to be destroyed. Our cities are going to be destroyed. That's going to have to be rebuilt. Yes, we got a lot of living through to do, but I'll tell you, I got a wife back there. We've been married 72 years this summer. And I wouldn't have her if it wasn't for this almighty Savior we have. He's the one that arranged it all so I could get her. And he's kept us together and showed us how to do things all these years. Maybe I'm blaming him for everything, but it seems like he just does things when you look at things and you figure it's impossible. Yeah, he made me go through some pretty desperate times. Times when I felt like there was no hope at all. And I was in another country at the time. But he told me finally, or arranged for me to understand that I had to go home. I didn't want to, but I had to go home. And so he took me home. And through those years, I guess I talk about Nephi here. Because he's one I met. And it's my prayer that all the things that I tried to put together this morning will fit themselves together in your hearts so that you know that they are true. This gospel that we have and this Savior that we have is real. And like a lot of us here, none of us would be here if it weren't for him. And so we give thanks for this every day. The good things in life, you know, there hadn't when I was trying to change, some people came to me and said, well, boy, it's sure a lot of change, and I don't know whether it's worth it or not. But you know what I found out? Probably you're a long ways ahead of me. I found out that the things you give up don't matter at all and are not even comparable to the blessing that God can give you, and it all centers around loving each other. So, brothers and sisters, hang in there. You encourage me every time I see your face. And I pray that God will bless each one of you. Thank you.